Hello and welcome to Tonight is Free Living. My name is Paul Toby and I want to thank you for downloading this audio recording. I want to say right up front that I am not a licensed doctor, a licensed psychiatrist, a holistic healer, or any other form of physician. I'm simply someone who suffered in the past with tinnitus and have over time learned to live a 100% tinnitus-free life. And I'll be sharing the benefit of my experience and my journey to recovery with you. Please make yourself comfortable, relax, and enjoy. Thank you. I remember back to January 6th, 1999, when I first got my tinnitus, and I think everybody's story is a little bit different, but you may find some similarities to mine, in which I had been suffering from a pretty severe head cold, and I don't normally get that sick very often, but in this particular case, I remember taking an over-the-counter medicine to unblock my passages, and my ears were plugged up, and shortly after taking the medicine I went to bed, and I woke up the next morning to a noise which I can only describe as sitting on the tarmac at Toronto International Airport with jets taking off. I mean, it was just this really, really high-pitched whine, which was just this complete wash over my head. And I really didn't know what to think of that, because obviously it was a new sensation, a new sound. It was really, really loud. And I kind of rolled off the bed and onto the floor, and I just kind of broke down. I thought, oh my God, what is this? And the first thing that came to mind was, how long is this going to be around for? So I, you know, waited the better part of a day, and I think the next day I went to the doctor's because it hadn't subsided, and that was when I first heard, even really heard the word tinnitus, because it was, you know, fairly new word for me, and I can remember the doctor simply, you know, giving me a referral to an ear, nose, and throat specialist, and basically saying at the time, while it could be temporary, it could be permanent, and, you know, at that time, I was just in complete denial that this was even happening. And when I went to the ear, nose, and throat specialist a few days later, he basically checked me out and said that, you know, other than my cold, there really wasn't a whole lot wrong with me, and that the tinnitus might actually go away. But it didn't. And it's been 7 years since then. And I don't think, you know, when I think about it, and I try not to think about it too often, but the volume of my tinnitus has never really subsided. I mean, it has its ups and downs. It goes up in volume, it goes down in volume, usually related to stress, but for the most part, I have learned to live with it, which at the time, it's funny, the doctor said, you know, you better go home and learn to live with it, and I didn't want to learn because it just completely destroyed me at that time, and I spent the next couple of years in severe depression, and it was just a really, really rough time those first few years with tinnitus. I think there's a number of stages that people, when they first start to suffer from any kind of debilitating disease, I think that there's several stages that you go through. For me, it wasn't that much different. I think the first stage for me was complete denial that this was even happening. It was just, it's going to be temporary. I kind of was hurting a lot, and the tinnitus was affecting my life severely. I couldn't hold a conversation. I couldn't hold my attention to any one particular thing. I couldn't concentrate on anything. But I was still pretty much in denial that this was going to be a permanent situation. I thought, okay, we'll just take it day by day, and we'll see what happens. And of course it never really did subside, so you know, the stage after denial was basically anger. I was pretty frustrated. I went to great lengths to try and alleviate the symptoms. I went to a number of different doctors. I went as far as Japan to kind of see, you know, do some holistic healing and stuff. And I really didn't have much belief in that, but I tried it anyway. I tried acupuncture. I tried homeopathic medicines. I tried a number of things, which I think many tinnitus sufferers go through. They're kind of looking for that sort of wonder cure. And for me, it was never to be a simple cure. And I think for many tinnitus sufferers, it's never going to be a simple cure. But there is hope, and I think that's what this talk is about. So, you know, after the initial stage of denial, then the anger, and then right after the anger was just this fear that, you know, this was never going to end, and that it, you know, was going to affect me for the rest of my life. And I can remember being very, very desperate in searching for something to help, something to alleviate the symptoms. And I grew from that situation, as many people would when they're faced with, you know, this very debilitating situation. I had to do a lot of growing, but I, you know, the stages are basically, for me, denial, anger, fear, and then basically just total breakdown. I just broke down completely. I'm going to drop out of life. I'm not going to be social. I'm going to you know, drop my music career. I'm going to drop everything. And I'm just basically going to whine the rest of my life and just blame everybody for my problems. And I think many people come to that, you know, that crossroads when they realize that there's nothing you can do. There is no wonder cure. There is no miracle drug. There is no physical healing on that level. So, you know, I basically broke down and was crushed. I think for me, when you reach that point where you realize that there's nothing you can do, no amount of anger, no amount of fear, no amount of persistence in trying to heal this thing, no amount of searching is going to bring about the ultimate cure. I think when you come to that point and you just finally break down, immediately after that point, at least for me, immediately after that point, when I, you know, I can remember basically crying for 24 hours straight when I reached that point, immediately after that comes acceptance. And I think that's a big part of any disease. When you finally realize that the only way back from this long descent of pain and agony is acceptance, then only from that point can you begin to climb your way out. Because only, I think for me at least, only through acceptance can you really start to heal. Because then you look for other avenues for healing rather than focusing on what you don't want. If you focus on what you do want, that was the beginning of the healing process. I started focusing on what, you know, what can I get out of life? What things can I do? What can I accomplish? And stopped focusing on what I didn't want, which was tinnitus. I didn't want that. But if you focus every day on not wanting something, you're just going to get more of the same. Back at the beginning, when I first got tinnitus, on a scale of 1 to 10, my tinnitus was an 11. I basically was suffering, you know, 30 days out of 30. Every day was a challenge. Every day I would wake up from very little sleep because, you know, obviously it's so loud, it impacts your sleep process too. And, of course, that's a vicious loop as well. The less sleep you get, the more your tinnitus goes up. So for me, at the beginning, you know, my tinnitus was basically an 11 out of 10. And it was that way for a very long time. I would say a good 2 years. It was, you know, right at the beginning was 30 bad days out of 30, and maybe by the end of 2-year period it was, you know, 28 bad days in 30. I mean, it was just really high-pitched, loud, and I can remember trying to mask it various ways. I went as far as to put a real-life fountain in my bedroom. We had this waterfall, you know, dropping over there. It was really loud water, too, and even that didn't work. I mean, we tried white noise. I tried, you know, leaving the television on. I tried headphones with music blaring. Anything that I could think of to be louder than the tinnitus. The more I did that, I think the louder the tinnitus got, because you just basically can't keep that up for very long periods of time. So if you constantly have loud noises around you, the times that you don't have loud noise, you really, really notice the tinnitus. Of course, when you're out in public, you can't have those loud noises. And although I do remember being in restaurants and places where there were a lot of people and a lot of conversation, I think that really helped a lot. You know, getting out in public and being around people, that seemed to help a lot. And now, you know, when I first started out, it was 30 bad days in 30, and it worked its way down to 28 on 30. Now I have one bad day in 30. That's one bad day a month. I mean, the noise is there, and usually the only time that it's bad is when I'm feeling stress from external factors that I seemingly have no control over. For example, if I'm overworked, or I'm losing sleep, or I have a deadline, or I'm staring at the computer for 10 hours straight, or something like that. You know, it's usually some kind of external factor which, you know, raises the tinnitus level. And also what I have to eat as well. I mean, what I have to eat can really affect tinnitus. And I think diet for me was a very, very important part of the healing process. I first started noticing that food made a big difference in my tinnitus volume. I first started noticing that just about, you know, just shortly after I had my major breakdown. I started experimenting with food because I noticed that some of the things that I were doing were actually causing the tinnitus to go up. And it took me a long time to realize that food was a factor in that process. So what happened was, for example, if I drank a cup of coffee, I recognized that the tinnitus would actually raise in volume. If I had a beer, for example, the tinnitus would raise in volume. So I started experimenting with food, and I recognized that there was a lot of things that affected the volume of my tinnitus. I can give you a big long list of things, but for me the basics of that formula are this. I shouldn't be eating wheat of any kind, for example, breads or cereals or beer. There's a lot of wheat in beer, pastas, anything that's really, you know, constructed from, you know, as a wheat byproduct. And also dairy products, milk, cheese, anything to do with dairy. I mean, those two things, I recognized almost within a 6-month trial and error period that those things raise the volume of my tinnitus. Other factors were red wine. I don't know what's in red wine, but I got to tell you, I just stopped drinking it all. And that was a really hard thing for me to do, because red wine was... I was a connoisseur of red wine. You know, we went to wineries, we would buy special wines on a regular basis, just daily would have a glass of wine or two, because I loved it. I just absolutely love red wine. And I think that's really, you know, if you talk about things you have to give up, that was one of the hard things for me, because I really, really just love the taste of red wine. And I don't drink it anymore, because I can't. I just cannot drink it. Even today, will raise the tinnitus on very special occasions, you know, like New Year's Eve or times like that. I'll break down and have a glass of wine, but I do end up paying for it in the long run. So I try to avoid that at all costs. Alcohol in general, I mean, alcohol and me just do not mix when it comes to tinnitus. People who suffer from tinnitus may find similar allergies to those kinds of things. I wouldn't really call it an allergy. It's just kind of a reaction to alcohol. Other things like bananas, strawberries, citrus fruits. The list is pretty much endless, and basically I discovered these things through trial and error. I wouldn't eat anything but one specific food and then chart the raise in volume of my tinnitus. And it was a fairly simple thing to do, because for lunch I would have strawberries and see what would happen. And then about 6 months to 8 months, I can't remember exactly, after I started this process and I started to find foods that would, you know, that would help me and actually be beneficial. For example, red meat. I'd liked red meat in the past. I'd never been a big red meat eater. And of course, for all you vegetarians out there, I apologize for this, but I recognized for me that red meat really helped lessen the volume of my tinnitus. I don't know why that is. It just is. Red meat and broccoli. You know, sometimes for dinner these days, that's all I'll have is red meat and broccoli. And I know that I'm going to have good days when I do that. About the 6 to 8 months after I started that process, I came across a book which somebody gave to me called Eat Right for Your Blood Type. And to be honest, I can't remember the name of the author at this point, but I opened the chapter, and the guy who wrote it built a very strong case for people of specific blood types and what they should be eating. Now, the book was really written for people to lose weight, and he built a very strong case for eating right for your blood type as it pertained to where your particular bloodline came from. So, for example, type O blood, which is what I am, I'm O negative. He basically said type O people were people who had spread out, because originally there was really only one blood type. And apparently when people started to multiply and branch out and start to move in search of food or community, my lineage of blood went to Africa, which is they had to survive on what the land would provide. And of course, in Africa, the land doesn't provide a whole lot except a bunch of animals. So type O evolved out of people eating wild game, eating animals that they would hunt. My blood lineage came from hunters. That's a very interesting way of describing where the different bloodlines came from. And basically he's saying if you eat what they used to eat or what your blood type had to eat in terms of where in the world you lived, that's what controlled your weight gain. So I looked in the book, and then he gave a whole list of things that type O should and shouldn't be eating. And the funny part was, everything that was on that list that was good for me, I already had figured that out through my trial and error process. And everything that was bad for me, I had already figured almost every one of those out from my trial and error process. Now, of course, there were some things on the list that I hadn't tried before, but the vast majority of things that I had already ascertained would be beneficial or non-beneficial or harmful to me was in that book. This basically confirmed everything which I had been learning about my own eating habits. And as a side effect of eating right and actually helping my tinnitus, I actually lost weight. Okay, so don't get me wrong. I mean, obviously, food is not the only contributor to the volume of my tinnitus. I think there are a number of other factors, one of which plays a very big part, and I alluded to this earlier, is the concept of stress. And I think more than anything else, more than food, more than external factors, I think it's the internal factors which cause dramatic increases in volume in my tinnitus. One of the things that always happens for me is when I begin to get stressed out, I notice almost immediately that my tinnitus has raised in volume. And one of the reasons for that is I notice it more because I am stressed. In other words, if I wasn't stressed, I wouldn't notice the volume, because things are good, I'm happy, I'm doing what I need to be doing, I'm moving forward with my life. When I back away from those things and I begin to notice problems, and I think problems is obviously a huge contributor to stress, and when I focus on those problems, that's when I notice my tinnitus volume going up. Because if I'm focusing on what I don't want, tinnitus tends to be hooked into that process somehow. Now, that may not be for everybody, but it certainly is for me. Tinnitus is I almost know immediately when I'm stressed out because I notice my tinnitus. It's kind of a vicious loop. And when my tinnitus is high, I notice that I'm also stressed out. So what is stress? And I think for me, the number one reason why I started to heal from that process is because I finally figured out what stress was. And I actually didn't figure it out on my own. I figured it out. I actually read a definition of stress by Eckhart Tolle in The Power of Now. And basically, anyone I've ever told this to, and it doesn't obviously just apply to people with tinnitus, but anyone I've ever told this to have noticed immediately that, you know, they really never knew what stress was. I mean, most people think that being stressed is all the symptoms, for example, feeling anger and frustration and hot-tempered and all of those things. Those are all symptoms of stress. But I think if you get right down to the root of it, at least what Eckhart Tolle said was, and what tends to help people, is the definition, the real definition of stress is this. It's the amount of energy that you put into resisting your situation. In other words, it's not the situation itself which causes you stress. For example, if you have a situation at work where you're having a problem with a boss or a coworker, it's not that situation that's causing the stress. It's your resistance, the amount of energy that you spend resisting the situation. So when I realized that, when I realized that I had put a lot of energy into resisting tinnitus, and this goes along with the acceptance phase, when I put a lot of energy into resisting my situation, how does one combat that? How does one find ways to alleviate the stress or alleviate the tinnitus, which are tied in, you know, very well together? Stress and tinnitus for me are just so intertwined and linked at the hip. So how does one go about changing that? Well, here's really all you can do. And certainly when I realized this, it helped me a lot, because when you have a stressful situation, there are really only two things you can do. Not five, not ten, but two. And in terms of tinnitus and stress, there's only two things you can do. The first one is you can accept it. Because if you choose not to accept it and you choose to fight back, for example, let's say you're at work and you have a stressful situation with your boss. If you fight back with your boss, you're basically fueling the fire. And that doesn't help. You're trying to get someone else to see your point of view. So let's take tinnitus, for example. If I have tinnitus and I'm stressed out from tinnitus, I'm basically, you know, lashing out at the world and I'm saying, hey, I want everybody to see my point of view. I want everybody to see that I'm suffering. Well, that doesn't help. And it didn't help me at all. And that's what I tried to do for a long time. It's like, well, I want everybody to feel sorry for me because I have tinnitus or I'm all stressed out and everything. But you know what? That doesn't help. So the only thing you can do to help is to accept it. So, for example, with your boss at work, if you have a problem with him, you just basically accept him because you can't change him. You just can't change somebody else's opinion. And people that try to do that, either through force or reasoning or logic, never really works out, because basically you're coming from a position of ego. I'm smarter than you, and I can make you understand that you're wrong. Well, the minute you try to make somebody else wrong, even though they may back down, you have not fixed the situation. The only thing that you can fix is you. So just totally be in 100% acceptance of your situation. Do not resist it at all. So that's the first thing you can do. What's the second thing you can do? Leave. I mean, if you've got a stressful situation at work and it's bothering you and bothering you and bothering you and bothering you, and you, all you can do, if you don't accept it, the only way it's going to be fixed is if you leave, basically quit or get fired. Or in any other stressful situation, you can either accept it or you can leave. Just remove yourself from the situation completely. So you say, well, how can I do that with tinnitus? It's here to stay. And here's the answer to that. You can't. You really only have one choice, and that's acceptance, because you can't leave. The only way to leave in terms of tinnitus is, well, you can do it, but I highly wouldn't recommend this, and I actually considered this very early on in my situation, and that's basically suicide. So if you're at that point where you're, you know, you're considering checking out of life permanently, please, please, please pick up the phone and call your doctor or a professional or a psychologist or your mother or your father or a friend or somebody. Just pick up the phone, call somebody, and tell them what you're thinking. That's all you have to do. You just basically say, you know, I've just had it up to here with tinnitus. I don't want to live like this anymore. Just tell that to somebody. And that's when the healing process will begin, because then you realize that you've reached that point of no return. You've reached the point where you've reached the end of the line. And immediately after that point, if you do get some help, and help can come in various forms, but usually it comes from a friend or a doctor or somebody with some words of wisdom. Okay, so let's go back to the only two things you can do in terms of stress. A, acceptance, or B, flight. And that's the same thing with tinnitus. And your only choice in terms of tinnitus is acceptance. And when you begin to accept it, very shortly after that process, that's when the healing will begin. I guarantee it. And again, I can only speak from my experience, but I have seen a number of situations, and not just people with tinnitus, but people with cancer or any type of debilitating disease. You've seen people fight back from all kinds of things, much, much worse than tinnitus. When you reach the end of the line, very shortly after that, there'll be a turning point. And then it'll be a slow climb back, but well worth the effort. Okay, so let's say, for example, you're at that point. You've reached the end of the line, and you've decided that acceptance is your only choice, because it is. That's really your only choice. How do you begin the healing process after that? And it will begin, but where do you start? And I think for me, when I think back to that point where I did begin to heal, I started learning. Because when you stop learning, you start dying. And I had heard that from a very famous author and seminar guy named T. Harv Eker, and he basically said, if you're not learning, you're dying. So I took that advice and I began to read. I realized that I didn't really know how to do anything. I didn't really know how to heal myself from this, and I had come to the realization that nobody else did either, because of course after visiting, you know, all the doctors and holistic healers and acupuncturists and all of that, I realized that nobody really knew how to cure this thing. And I didn't know how either. But the only thing that I could do was learn how to heal the parts of myself that were causing the tinnitus. So I chose, obviously, the external things such as food. But for me, I think the major cause of my tinnitus was my emotional attachment to it. In other words, the stress that was caused by the tinnitus and the tinnitus causing the stress. Well, how do you go about healing that process? And that's when I began to realize that if I learned everything that I could about healing the emotional parts of myself, then I could fix the stress which was causing the tinnitus and vice versa. So, how did I do that? Well, I picked up a number of different books, but most of those books had to do with self-help. They had to do with inner healing. And a lot of people say, well, I don't believe in that. I only believe in what I can see. And based on my experience, people that only believe in what they can see generally are not very good healers. They're not very good internal healers, because they haven't recognized anything inside themselves that might need fixing. For example, if you have no belief system at all, it's very hard to realize that there are things that can cause you to heal emotionally. And I realized after reading a number of books that there are four parts to the human being. There's the emotional, the mental, the physical world, and the spiritual world. And the emotional, mental, and spiritual are the three parts of yourself that you have control over. Those are the three parts of yourself that you can work on to cause changes in your physical world. So it's those three most important parts that can change the physical world around you. If you fix the emotional, the mental, and the spiritual parts of yourself first, you'll begin to see changes in the physical world, not only in your tinnitus and your stress and your emotional healing, but you'll see changes in the people around you. You'll see changes in your environment, changes in your family, changes in your community. For me, rising out of this, I mean, I'm a professional concert pianist, so I recognize when I started to fight for the things that I really wanted and started to heal the emotional parts of myself, that had an outward effect on almost everyone around me. And I began to build a circle of very, very strong and very close friends. I began to build a circle of community. I joined my local businessman's club. I joined this. I started to volunteer my services. I started to do everything that I could to help the people around me, and in turn, that healed a lot of the emotional, the spiritual, and the mental parts of myself to allow my physical world to change. I noticed that, for example, in terms of spirituality, I'd grown up in a Christian family. My father was a United Church minister, and I kind of rebelled against that for a long period of time. And I think there's truth in every faith. For example, you know, there's truth in the Christian faith, and in Islam, there's truth in Eastern philosophy. There's truth in almost every religion. It's how you assimilate that truth, each of those truths, into the way that you interact with society. A lot of people have said from tonight, they say, well, I've just dropped out of life. Well, that's not going to help, because it's the people in the community around you that tend to be co-creative in the healing process. If you look at Eastern philosophy, living in the now, and Eckhart Tolle talks about this a lot in his book called The Power of Now, if you walk along the sort of the razor's edge of now, not believing in the past and not believing in the future, but believing that all there's ever been and all there ever will be is the present moment, then you realize that this is the only moment I have to do what I need to do. So for me, what I needed to do was focus more in the now on what it is I really want. That brings me to another point. The number one reason why people don't get what they want in life is this. And everybody has their own, you know, idea of what the answer to that question is. And I ask this in all of my seminars. I say to my people, okay, what is the number one reason why people don't get what they want in life? And the answer is very simple. Most people simply don't know what it is they want. Now, I hope that makes sense, because if you look at that and you say to yourself, well, what is it that I really want? Well, for me, I look at this situation and I say, okay, what do I want out of life? Well, I want to be a performer, a musician. I want to be a good family person. I want to be a good person in the community. I want to be a good volunteer. I want to be all of those things. Those are all good. But I think it goes way beyond that. You need to adopt a really, really big goal. And the reason for that is if you shoot for the stars, you're at least going to hit the moon. So for me, I chose Carnegie Hall as my goal. And I'm well on my way, because I've gone ahead and done things to allow that to happen. And I've written symphonies and performed a number of concerts since crawling back from tinnitus. I've rallied the community. I've rallied volunteers. I've rallied people in the industry to sort of believe in what it is I'm doing, and rallying around my music career, because the ultimate goal for me is to get to Carnegie Hall. Am I going to get there in this lifetime? I have no idea. I think I am, but, you know, who's to say? But I'm 5,000% further towards that goal than I was, you know, even 3 years ago, because I actually took some initiative. Okay, so you've decided that you know what you want in life. You've adopted a really big goal. For me, of course, that's Carnegie Hall. For you, it could be, you know, building the Titanic too. I don't care what it is, just choose a really big goal. And don't think of it in terms of what your limitations are. A lot of people think, well, I can't do that because, you know, I'm just not smart enough, I'm not strong enough, I'm not fast enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not good looking enough, any number of things. You know, try not to pick something with a limitation on it, okay? Pick something that's just so astronomically ridiculous in your own head, and let's say, for example, okay, I'm God and I can grant you any wish you want. Pick a wish, make it big, and make sure that it's something that you really, really want. A lot of people spend weeks and weeks, you know, years figuring out what they want. Most people never get around to even thinking about it. And that's why most people don't get what they want, because they don't know what it is they want, because they never stop to think about what it is they do want. So, you know, my advice to you is, pick something in your life that you really want, okay? All you tinnitus sufferers out there, just go, okay. Because I've heard from a lot of musicians lately, and because lots of musicians get tinnitus. You know, most of it's probably from loud noises in the orchestra or loud noises with their rock bands or whatever. But go back to your music if that's your passion. You know, what are you passionate about? What are you knowledgeable about? What are your natural talents? Focus on those things and pick a really big goal, okay? So let's say for me, that's Carnegie Hall. I picked my goal. And that's, you know, that's where I'm going. Is the goal going to end with Carnegie Hall? Probably not. But at least it's a big enough goal to say, hey, that's something to shoot for. So, what do you do then? Okay, once you've decided what it is you want, what do you do next? Well, the second thing is you need to know what to do. And that's where the learning process comes in. You need to basically go out and learn everything you can about attaining that goal. So for me, I can only speak based on my experience. So for me to get to Carnegie Hall, there's a number of stepping stones. I have to build a really big audience. I have to get really good at marketing. I have to be a much better piano player. I have to be a much better arranger, a much better orchestrator. I just have to be a much better person to build the, you know, the network of individuals it's going to take for me to get to Carnegie Hall, because I know I can't do it alone. If, you know, I can be a legend in my own mind, basically, but if nobody knows about it, there's no way in hell I'm ever going to get to Carnegie Hall. So, knowing what to do is a big part of the process. You need to go and find and learn everything it is you can about reaching the goal that it is you want to reach. Okay, so, you know what it is you want, and now you sort of know what to do. You've gone out and you figured, you know, what are the next steps I need to take to reach this goal? What's the third thing? And the final thing, and for me, by far, the most important part of the process is knowing how to do something. Knowing what to do is not necessarily going to make it happen. You need to know how to do something. And that's the crossroads for many people. Even if they've got the first two things, most people end there because they never really figured out how to do something. Because the way most people go about figuring out how to do something is trial and error. That's by far the most popular method of learning to do anything, is trial and error. And that works. Sometimes. Generally, for me anyway, trial and error process takes a really long time. Because obviously, you know, you try something, you make some mistakes, you try something else, you make some mistakes. And most people focus on the problems rather than the solutions. So what happens is if you're focusing on all your errors and all your mistakes, you generally tend to make more mistakes and more errors. For me, and I think really the most efficient way of learning to do anything or learning how to do anything, especially anything worthwhile, and by far, you know, it's by far the most efficient, effective, not only in time, but in energy, manner to do anything worthwhile, and that's to learn from somebody who's already doing it and have some success doing it. So what does that mean? That means you have to track down people who are already successful at what it is you want to do. Let's take me for example. If I want to be successful and build an audience big enough to fill Carnegie Hall, I'm going to have to find individuals, companies, situations, relationships that allow me to learn the things that I need to learn in order to get to Carnegie Hall. So those people have to be already people who are connected with that situation. So do I start right away with people who've already played Carnegie Hall? Sure. I'm not necessarily going to pick up the phone and call them, but I'm going to, in a roundabout way, go to people that have helped them get there, or go to people that have helped other people get into similar places, such as, you know, Roy Thompson Hall or Royal Albert Hall, or, you know, people like that. I'll start building a network of individuals and people that know how to do stuff. And for me in the music business, that's not an easy thing to do, because, of course, a lot of people are afraid. They don't want to share. There's that whole competitive spirit, all of that. So you still have to persist. You still have to go out, and you have to find people that can help you do what it is you need to do. And one of the ways that I did that was I dug deep into my pocketbook and wrote a bunch of checks to people who knew how to do stuff. I learned how to market. I learned how to do public speaking. I learned how to enroll and engage an audience. I learned internet marketing. There's a number of things that I had to pay for in order to move my career forward towards that ultimate goal. And here's the kicker in the whole thing. When you do that, when you start to make those steps out of that, you've hit the brick wall and you've 100% acceptance, and you begin to build out of that towards your ultimate goal, that process of living in the now and building up your toolbox of knowledge, emotional skill, mental skill, spiritual skill, when you do that every single day and you're running towards the goal, that's where the healing really takes flight. Because it's not the destination that's important here. For example, let's say I get to Carnegie Hall within a year or within 2 years. Once I played Carnegie Hall, what am I supposed to do? Just sort of give up and go back to being a suffering, you know, tinnitus person? No, of course not. My goal is going to continue well past Carnegie Hall. I'll be happy, of course, if I get there, but the journey doesn't end with the destination. The journey is the learning process. Every day, learning about your emotional, mental, and spiritual parts of yourself that cause you to take some action towards an ultimate goal. But it's not the goal that's important here. It's the learning and the doing, and every day being a trooper in the fight for what's really important in your life. Okay, because if you focus on what's not important and you focus on what's wrong, for example, if you focus on tinnitus, you're going to get more tinnitus. That's really the easiest way that I can explain it. What you focus on expands. So if you focus on tinnitus, you're just going to get more of that. And you say, well, no, I don't want tinnitus. Well, you're focusing on not wanting. Don't focus on what you don't want. Focus on what you do want. And that's where the, you know, knowing what you want, knowing what to do, and knowing how to do it becomes very, very important, because now you're focusing on what it is you really want. And that's what alleviates your tinnitus symptoms, because you've gotten back into the game of life. You've gotten back into what's really, really important. So, let's look at tinnitus now as not suffering, as not something to hate, but something to embrace, something to say, hey, this got me to the point of no return, and now the healing can begin. Tinnitus actually sped up my healing process. Now, that may be hard for many of you to accept, but, and I can only speak based on my own experience, but I use now tinnitus as a tool to propel me towards what it is I really want. Okay? And realizing that every day is part of that journey, and that I have to live every single day fighting for what it is I want and what it is I believe in. And when you do that, your whole world changes around you. Your family will change, your friends will change. Your whole environment changes, because you've now got this new outlook on life that people can feel from miles and miles and miles away. I mean, I've built a mailing list now on paultobey.com that's well over 9,000 people and growing every single day. How did that happen? Well, first of all, I had to figure out how to even begin constructing a mailing list. But because of the information that's on paultubby.com and because of the music and because of my energy, I'm starting to build this huge network of people and individuals that believe in my ultimate goal, which is to get to Carnegie Hall, to just, you know, produce the best music I can, be the best person I can, be the best entertainer I can, all of those things. Am I going to live up to everyone's expectations? No, of course not. Am I going to live up to my own? You bet. Because I'm fighting every single day for what it is I want. And you say, well, I have tinnitus, and I don't want that, and I don't know how to fix it, and I can't find the drugs to fix it, and I can't, you know, nobody will tell me how to fix it, and nobody tells me what to do, and doctors don't seem to know anything. And, you know, let's look back at my tinnitus situation, for example. I went to the Canadian Hearing Society, and I spent $4,000 on noise-generating devices called tinnitus retraining therapy, which was supposed to, over time, alleviate the symptoms of my tinnitus. It was supposed to trick the brain into thinking that the noise wasn't there. Well, that didn't work for me. Does it work for other people? Yeah. Would I recommend that you try it? Sure, go ahead. Go try it. Who am I to say that it's not going to work? They say that they've boasted a 25% success rate. I don't know exactly, and it's different for every person. Should you not try it because it didn't work for me? Of course not. Go try it. But what I am saying is this. If you realize that nobody out there can help you, all you can do is help yourself. And based on my experience, getting in the game and working towards a goal is a major, major, major part of the healing process. Why? Because you're starting to fight for what it is you believe in. And it's that daily fight for what you do want that erases the things you don't. And that works for everything, by the way, that not just tinnitus. If you're focusing on tinnitus, that's going to expand. If you're focusing on what it is you want in life, that's going to expand. For example, if you focus on you want more money in your life, that's going to expand. If you focus on, not having enough money, you're always not going to have enough money. That's just the way it is. How do I know these things? Only based on my own experience. Now, the belief in things that you can't see is far more important in the belief of things that you can. For example, if you've seen The Secret, it's called the Law of Attraction. You attract the things to you that you want, but you also attract to you the things that you don't want, because if you focus on what you don't want, you get more of the same. What you focus on expands. That's basically the whole premise of the Law of Attraction. And that is an internal process. Nobody can create that process for you. For example, you can't blame anybody else for your lack of something. You can't blame anybody else for your lack of money. You can't blame anybody else for your tinnitus. It's just the way it is. And if you keep focusing on that, your lack of something, you're going to get more lack. And when you realize that, life is not about lack. It's about there's an abundance of things in the universe ready for the taking. All you have to do is know what you want, know what to do, and know how to do it. Okay, so here's a really good question and something I want you to think about. Let's say you're at that point of no return where you say, okay, you realize now that there's only two things you can do. There's either A, acceptance, or B, flight. And in this case, that's, suicide or antidepressants or drugs of any kind, something that just checks your mind out completely. And if you're at that point and you're contemplating ending your situation, through those means, what will you miss? You have to think about what you will miss if you do that. So let's take me, for example. If I had ended my life 4 years ago, what would I have missed? Well, I would have missed my unbelievably incredible son, who's now 9 years old. I will have missed my beautiful wife, Nancy, who absolutely loves and adores me, and vice versa. I mean, we're just an incredible team. I would have missed the rest of my family. I would have missed all my friends. I would have missed the thrill of performing in front of 1,000 people. I would have missed the thrill of composing 9 symphonies. I would have missed all the concerts that I've done. I would have missed all the people that I have affected. Because basically there's only 2 things you can do in life. You can either affect people or infect them. And when you choose to affect people, that has some really positive returns for you. So, you know, when I feel on a positive level, it's returned tenfold to me. So I would have missed all of those, all of those relationships. And I think about those things every day, because that's really all that's important. Everybody focuses in this world on things and what they want and you know, cars and houses and you know, all the debt that comes out. Everybody focuses on those things. But you know, when you really get right down to it, what's really important? And that, you know, there's really no point in clawing and scraping your way to the top, because once you get there, there's not going to be anybody around you to enjoy it with. So you don't want to claw and scrape your way. You want to build healthy relationships, not only with friends, with family and your loved ones, and focus on those things. I can only recommend that you just totally focus on friends and family, because in the end, that's all you've got. It's not, you know, when you're dead and gone, when you're 80 years old, they're not going to write on your gravestone, you know, the size of your boat and the size of your house. But the people that are going to be attending your funeral, they're going to be saying, you know, what are they going to say about you? How did you affect people? Did you affect them or did you infect them? Okay, and a lot of, you know, what I used to do with my tinnitus was infect people. I wanted people to feel sorry for me. So I was just like, you know, complain. And that infects people, because, you know, what do they do in return? They tell you all their problems. And then pretty soon you got this vicious loop of people just discussing problems. So you want to focus on who you're hanging out with, and you want to focus on everything that you can do to empower their lives. Because when you do that, that's a major, major part of the healing process, and you'll begin to see the whole thing really speed up. And I notice that I'm excited when I jump out of bed every day now, because I'm excited about, you know, just racing towards the goal. It's, you know, sure, I have good days and bad days, but it's, you know, every day, at least when I wake up, I know that there's something I need to do to either help the people around me, help my situation, just keep moving forward. People always ask me that. They say, well, you know, if you're cured from tinnitus, do you still have it? Yes, I still have tinnitus. But here's the thing. I do not for one second focus on that, okay? And you say, well, if you still have it, it's not a cure. Well, that's not necessarily true. If I spend 100% of my energy focused on the things that I do want, I'm spending 0% of my energy focusing on my tinnitus, which is something I don't want. Therefore, if I'm not focusing on it, it doesn't really exist, does it? Okay, and that's going to be a hard concept for people to understand, because people are looking for that cure, that wonder drug, that the thing that just wipes tinnitus away. Well, for me, I realized a long time ago that that just wasn't possible. There's doctors working on cures. I mean, there's millions of dollars being spent on tinnitus research, but so far, there is not a cure for 100% of the people. Sure, some people have been cured through various scenarios, and some people have, you know, just basically woken up one day and it's gone. But for me, that just wasn't possible. But it's still a cure. Why is it still a cure? Because I don't spend any of my energy focusing on tinnitus. And when I say I have one bad day in 30, that even that one bad day is still nowhere near as bad a day as the 30 on 30 days that I used to have. Okay? Because if the tinnitus volume is really loud and I'm stressed out and things, I know how to fix that. How do I fix it? I start focusing on what I do want. Okay, so it is a cure. Why? Because if you're not thinking about it, and you're not stressed out about it, and you're not focused on it, it doesn't exist. Does that make sense? I really hope that makes sense, because I still have tinnitus, but I'm cured at the same time. Now, if that's a hard concept to understand, and basically, I don't know how to make you understand, but, you know, based on my own experience, there are times when it's really, really quiet, and I'm out looking at the stars, or I'm, you know, looking at the moon or whatever, and it's really quiet, and I, for one fleeting second, notice it, what do? I shift my attention to something that I do want. Because if I stay in that spot, that's not moving forward, that's moving backwards. It's the moving forward part that is the cure. Okay? And it's the cure for everything. Okay? It's not just the cure for tinnitus, it's the cure for humans in general. Okay? If you're focused on the emotional and the mental and the spiritual parts of yourself that can be healed, then the world around you changes and the world around all of us will change. It will end all war. It will end all conflict, all confrontation. Because when you look inside yourself for healing, that's when real healing begins. Well, thank you, everyone. I hope you enjoyed spending some time with me. For those of you that would like more information, you can always visit my website at paultobey.com/blog, B-L-O-G. I post a number of answers to questions from people who email me, and there's a lot more learning to do at that blog, and I do list some resources for other help that you can find online. If you have a question that you know you feel that I haven't answered in this hour, and of course I'm sure there's a lot of them, please email me at info@paultobey.com, or you can post a comment to my blog and I'll be sure to answer your question. If there is something that you want me to put together, for example, another hour audio tape on a specific topic, I'd be more than happy to do that. So please contact me at will. And visit my website for more information. And it's been a lot of fun for me this last hour and sharing some of my thoughts and my ideas on tinnitus. And I sincerely wish you the best. And I hope that you can find healing in my words. Thank you.